The reason Bedak recorded was one of the requests that I do it. Rabbi Schnall said, because the Shechta says I always get to tell the Torah the Rav and do it on Shabbos where it can't be recorded. So I should do it in during the week when it can. The shiur that I am about to say is fundamentally the Torah of the Rav. At the end, I'm going to say something that is my own, but I believe it follows from that, from the Torah of the Rav that I'm going to say earlier. I did check in the written things and my memory, and I don't recall what I'm saying, that the Rav said it explicitly, but I think you'll see how it follows. What I chose to deal with the issue of Simcha and Avelus on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Purim. Purim is the part that's more my own. And I picked this topic because it includes in the explanation that we're going to hear from the Rav a term that does not appear apparently earlier in all the Briska terminology, that comes apparently was originated by the Rav and which he uses to explain a number of things. The Mishnah in Moed Katan Daf Yates Amid Aleph says Hakover es meso shloshi yomim kodim beregel batla himenu gzeras shiva. That if a person, we know that avelus begins with the burial. If there was ready 3 days of avelus, and then comes a yomtiv, so the rest of the shiva is dropped. Now, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara paskins against the Mishnah. The Gemara, which is how we function, is as long as one has begun Avelus, which would mean that a person got buried an hour before Yontif, and there was enough time at the Beis HaKvaros to begin the first aspect, to see some expression of Avelus, the whole Avelus of Shiva is removed. However, there's a difference here between Shabbos and Yontif. So the Mishnah Knigdus Shmona Batla Men Gzeres Shloshim, that similarly, we know the different levels of Avelus, that after the Shiva, the next 23 days is the period of Shloshim where there's a reduced Avelus. If within that 30-day period comes a Yom Tov after the Shiva, so then there's no longer any more Shloshim. We're going to focus the Shiur on the Shiva part. So the Mishnah continues, Shabbos Ola Ve'ena Mavsekes Regolim Mavsikin Ve'ena Olin. That Shabbos counts as part of the Shiva, right? Even though one doesn't express the Avelos on Shabbos. So the Gemara discusses Gvarm Shabbatzina. A person does keep Avelos, but not in a public manner that would seem to conflict with Shabbos, but it doesn't break up the Shiva. While Yom Tov does not count, and it breaks up the Shiva. So the first question we have to understand is why Shabbos should have less of effect against the Avelus than Yom Tov. In general, we know Shabbos is more chomer than Yom Tov, right? Obviously, with respect to Issa Melacha, right there. Yantif, Ochel Nefesh is mutter, and Shabbos, all malacha is prohibited. And here, somehow, Shabbos is less than Yom. We'll get back to that in a moment. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mishachorah, Beis HaMikdash, Atzeres, to Shabbos. Apparently, that aspect of Yontif that destroys Shiva is the fact that the Yontif itself is 7 days. Shavuos is never 7 days, but when there was a Beis HaMikdash, if someone was unable to bring Shamei Simcha, Shamei Chagiga, on Yontif itself, on Shavuos, had the rest of the week to bring it. So there was a sense where the Yontif of Shavuos had some aspect that continued for 7 days, and we'll see why that aspect was relevant. Korban HaBayis, there are no more any korbanos. There is no extension of Shavuos beyond the Yontif itself. In Eretz Yisrael, we don't have Yontif Sheni Shogolios, so it's like Shabbos. We don't pass in this way, but Rabbi Elazar ben Gamliel Omer, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim Kirgolim. Rabbi Gamliel says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, which are only one day, right? But they're not like Shabbos. They're like Regolim, and they eliminate the Avelus. Chachomim Melokidib Rezeh, Melokidib Rezeh, Elatzeres Kirgolim, Rosh Hashanah, V'Yom HaKippurim Kishabbos. And Chachomim say, it's not dependent on one day, 7 days. That's not the criteria. Atzeres is a regel, like Pesach and Sukkot, therefore it eliminates Avelis. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim do not. Now, let's get back to the fundamental question. Why should Yom Tif be eliminated Avelis more than Shabbos? So one explanation, by the way, everything that I'm going to say from the Rav is found in the volume and Hilchos Avelus of Hilchos Tisha B'Av that Rav Konigsberg put out of the Torah of the Rav, plus other explanations. One of the key things to know about the Rav was that he was always rethinking things. So that Torah, which I say in the name of the Rav, someone could have sat in the Shiur in a different year and heard they would give a different explanation. Because the Rav was never locked in. You rethink things all the time. So what aspect of their Yom Tif that doesn't exist in Shabbos, which should be contradictory to our veils? So the answer is Simcha. The Gemara talks about Yom Tov being Simcha de Rabim, and Avelis is Avelis de Yochid. There's a conflict between Simcha and Avelis. Golim, perhaps all Yom Tovim have Simcha, Shabbos does not. How do we know that? So there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam distinguishes between Shabbos and Yom Tov in the following way. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed, says, Arba Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbos Shnayim Min HaTorah V'Shnayim Min Divrei Sofrim V'Hein Mefurosh Ma'Yedei Nevi'im. Therefore, manifestations of Shabbos, expressions. Two are explicit in the Torah and two are midrabanan, but they're already mentioned by the Nevi'im. Shebe Torah Zohar V'Shoma and Shezbashra Yedei Nevi'im Kavod V'Oneg Shenema V'Kuros L'Shabbos Oneg V'Kdos Hashem V'Kubod. And the Rambam goes on to differentiate between Kavod and Oneg. And when he gets to Oneg, Ezu Oneg Zeh Shomer Chachom Shetzorach V'Takein Tavshel Shomein B'Yoser U'Mashke Mevusam V'Shabbos HaKolot V'Memono Shalada. The first boy eats better meals on Shabbos, depending on how much money he has. Right. And if he is wealthy, the next halacha, Mishu Onog V'Asher V'Arei Kol Yom Av K'Shabbos, Zerach L'Shanos Machal Shabbos V'Machal Achol. If they can't change the food, M'Shanos Manu Achila. And in Shabbos, he has to be function differently than during the week, which is indicative that this is a manifestation of his respect and appreciation for Shabbos, just like kavod. Basically, kavod is that what you do prior to Shabbos. In your preparation, earnings, how you express it on Shabbos. The Rambam does not mention Simcha. He mentions Kavod Va'onik, doesn't say Simcha. So you say, Onik and Simcha sound similar. But if you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Vav, right? Perek Vav Halachat HaZayin, Kishem Shemitzu L'Chabed Shabbos L'Angor, Kach Koyom Tovim Shenemer L'Kadosh Hashem L'Kubad, V'Koyom Tovim Nebehem Mikro Kodesh. Bi'arnu HaKibud Ra'inu V'Hilcho Shabbos. And to be the same thing on Yom Tov. So the Rambam says that whatever is included in Kavod Va'onig and Shabbos is included in Yom Tov. Then the Rambam says, the next halacha, Shibbos Yimei HaPesach, Shibbos Yimei HaChag, Yim Shar Yom Tovim, Kulam Asurim Beth B'Tainis, V'chayim Odom Lios Ben Sameach B'Tov Lev, Hu Bona Bishtov V'Reisa. So you see very clearly that the Rambam is differentiating from the Oneg of Shabbos, which again exists on Yom Tov as well. And the Yom Tov now has an additional component, which is the Simcha, and that he didn't mention on Shabbos. And this is obviously beyond the Kavod Va'onig. And even though it refers to Korban Shlomim, Yesh B'chalos HaSimcha L'Smoch U'Ban of Nebesa Kol Echeh G'Roy Lo. Even though it means the Korbanos, the special Shalmei Simcha that are born in Yom Tov, and Bisman Azed Vasa V'Yayin, but it includes whatever makes someone happy. So it talks about the women who don't want to eat too many big meals, so they buy nice clothes. Young children don't like big meals, they like candy. The young children, you buy candy, give them candy. Anything, that's misameh. Right. So we see that there's an element in Yom Tov that doesn't exist in Shabbos. And it's the Simcha which fully contradicts the Avelos. Now, it is also possible to say, no, the real reason why Shabbos doesn't break the Avelos is because every week has a Shabbos. And if Shabbos would break the Shiva, then there can't be any Shiva. Because there's no, can't have 7 days without Shabbos being one of them. So it can't be that Shabbos destroys Avelos and have a notion of Shiva in the first place. That works well for Shabbos. It does not explain why it should Dvarim Shebitzino Anoheg, and it also doesn't explain why Rabbi Elazar extends it to Shavuos after the Churban, and the Chachamim extend it to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, because they don't come every week. So if it's already Shabbos because it comes every week, then it wouldn't apply to anything else. It wouldn't apply to Shavuos. It only comes once a year. Rosh Hashanah once a year. Kippurim once a year. So that explanation is insufficient. So it's apparently the Simcha. So the Rav asked, how do you express Simcha with Basa V'Yayin? Right? Does that conflict with Avelos? It doesn't say anywhere that an Avel can't eat Basa and drink wine. We think it will be associated because of the days before Rosh Chodesh Av, the 9 days before Tisha B'Av. But an Avel for loss of a parent or a sibling can eat meat and drinks wine. So the kasha is, if he could eat meat and drink wine, so why is there a stira between the Simcha and the Avelos in the first place? He could be an Avel, and also be Mesamech for having Basa V'Yayin. So here comes this famous additional term that the Rav brought into brisket discourse, and it's called Kiyum Shebelev. You may have heard it in the context of the question whether tshuva is a mitzvah in the Rambam, or vidui is a mitzvah, where the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva talks about when you do tshuva, you mechuyev to do the mitzvah, do vidui. But in the introductory thing, he says that he should do tshuva and say vidui. And the Rav explained that tshuva is a kim shebelev. Tshuva is an attitude. It's an emotional state. Vidui is the formal act of expressing that tshuva. Right? The tshuva is internal, but it has to be expressed in some behavior, which is the general pattern of halacha in general. Internal feelings have to be expressed. So the Rav said, avelis also is an internal feeling. It's a feeling of loss. It's a feeling of being removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? I prayed for my father to survive, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen. But it goes so far, and I won't go into this in great detail, but there's a machlokis between Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of the Perek Mishamesu, the third Perek in Brachos, that an onan is the status of the mourner before Avelis, before the burial. And an onen is pata min ha-mitzvos. An onen does not have to do mitzvos. Why? Rashi says it's in the general notion of osek min ha-mitzvah, pata min ha-mitzvah. Since the onen is responsible to arrange for the burial of the mace, so that frees him from doing other mitzvahs, right? If that's the case, it doesn't prohibit him from doing mitzvahs. It says he's not obligated to do mitzvahs. Tosfos, on the basis of Yerushalmi, and certainly how the Rav understood it, says, no, he doesn't do mitzvahs. Even if he wants to, he doesn't do mitzvahs. And the Rav explained, because the onen is in such a sense of loss, he's so distraught that he's removed from the world of mitzvahs. He comes back to the avelos with the avelos, but the onen is so distraught because of the loss of that he, even if he wants to do mitzvahs, he's not allowed to do them. So avelos is an internal state of loss. The Rav says, similarly, simcha is also an internal state that is expressed by certain actions. He said, this is different than Oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is not an internal state. It's I'm obligated to show how important Shabbos is by differentiating Shabbos from the rest of the week. It's not that my internal state has changed. I am obligated to demonstrate the importance of Shabbos by differentiating Shabbos from the rest of the week. But Yom Tov, the Simcha, and since Yom Tov, the Gimel Rogalim, where Simcha is mentioned, it's not mentioned explicitly in Pesach, that's a whole other question. It's associated with going to the Beis HaMikdash. Three times a year we go to the Beis HaMikdash. It's being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And so Simcha, which expresses our being the Fnei Hashem, contradicts Avelis, our feelings of being removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and lost. And as the Gemara says, that Simcha de Rabim, the Simcha of Yom Tov is not my own privately, but it's part of all of Klal Yisrael. And that outweighs the Avelis, which is private, which is Avelis de Yachid. And then the Rav used that to explain the Shita, which we paskin, because we always find more lenient viewing Avelis, of Rabbi Gamliel against the Chachamim. Right? You could say the machlokas is simply the machlokas where there's a formal din of simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, as there is on the Gemara Regalim, which would express itself in the language you use in tefillah, which is machlokas rishon. And the Rebbe says it's deeper than that, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, the days of din, the days of tshuva, are a time of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Hashanah, we're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, in Malchios. And in Yom Kippurim, it's a day Hashem forgives us. We know, Shitas Rebbe, that even if we don't do tshuva in some sense, Yom Kippurim itself is a source of it. If there's no Sa'al HaZazel, Itzumo Shoyom, the day is a sort of a day that Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives us. So that's a day of closeness to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the closeness to a Kadosh Baruch Hu which outweighs the sense of distance from a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Aveilus. Because you look at the Kim Sheva Levu Simcha, which in I sort of hinted at by pointing out the Rambam saying that even though it's Basa V'Yayin, it need not be Basa V'Yayin. If somebody doesn't like me, if somebody doesn't drink, so he expressed the symptom what he does enjoy, right? Buys new clothes for Yontif, just like he says he's buying for the wife new clothes. So that makes sense. If a simcha essentially is a kim shebelev, so kesek kim shebelev, then it can be expressed in actions in different kinds of ways, right? When it comes to onik Shabbos, you don't have a choice of how to express onik Shabbos, right? The Rambam says you have better meals. If you can't do that, or you always have better meals, then you change the time. That you have to do something that demonstrates your respect for Shabbos. When it comes to Simcha of Yontif, it's an internal feeling that has to be expressed, but anybody can express it, whatever ever is appropriate or meaningful to them. All right, this is the Torah of the Rav so far. Now I want to move on to another discussion about Simcha, and then we're going to get to Purim. It's also in Moreh Katan. The Mishnah in Moreh Katan, Daf Ches Amud Beis, says, "Einosim noshim b'moed." Then Chol HaMoed, you don't perform weddings. Right? Not Erusin. Remember, in the time of the Gemara, there's Erusin and Nesuin, and the two are done different times. We do it at one ceremony, but we separate the two, right? We read the Ksuvah in between the Erusin, or we call Kedushin, and the Nesuvin, the Sheva Brachos. So the Mishnah says that Chesam Yudbeis Einosim Noshim B'Moreh Lo Besulos or Amonos V'Lo Miyabnim Neshe Simcha. We don't do it to Simcha. What's the problem? Chamor is not. We just said that Yontif is the time of Simcha, so we don't go to Simcha. So the Gemara gives four explanations. We Simcha Hilo My Havi. Rav Yehuda Meshmuel Bechem Rav Lozem Rav Oshia Ramdam Rav Lozem Rav Chanina Lefi She'ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. You don't mix two events of Simcha, of joy, together because you're diluting them, right? You're getting two for the price of one. So you're having a full expression of either one by itself. Then the Gemara gives three other explanations. Rabba Barbuna Mamesha Meniach Simchas Haregel Vaosik Simchas Ishto. And he quotes it with the Gemara saying, "My march and ever Samachta Bechagecha Begachecha Belog Ishtech." Right? You should be Mesamech in the Chag and not with your wife through marriage. And then the Gemara says two more explanations which connect to this one. Nei HaTorah, because you're going to have a wedding is a very complicated affair. You get very involved, take you away from focusing on God, and Kircha is also for a moed. And finally, we should be to a period of the rivia. People don't have enough money. They have to spend a lot of money on the wedding. They might as well do it in a chol hamoed. We have to have a yontif meals anyway. So they won't. They'll wait to the Yom Tovim to get married, and that means they won't be getting married earlier. And in this essence, it'll be a loss of period of rivia because there's a whole time period that the wives can't get pregnant. What is different? The Gemara doesn't ask the question, my nafkamina. But there is a very important nafkamina, right? And this is we'll see it conceptually, and then we'll see how it carries out. The nafkamina is, if it's a din of ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, so then it's in the very nature of expression of simcha. And it happens that one of the types of simcha we're talking about is chol hamoed. But it's not a halacha in the yontif per se, right? Not what we saw before of simcha's yontif. Yontif has simcha. And married is a simcha. A marvin simcha b'simcha. If it's v'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha, so it's a din in yontif, right? The din in simcha's yontif, that you can't have a second simcha. One nafkamina, and the Rambam says, remember that Chachmei Sforad did not accept the takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, Chachmei de Rabbeinu Gershom, and therefore according to Sforadic Halacha, one is permitted to have more than one wife. The Rambam says, "Yesh Perak Yud Melchus Ishus Alach Yid Gimel Yesh La Adam Liso Nashim Rabos Kaachas Biyom Echad Umeborach Bichasar Lekulin Kaachas Avo LeSimcha Torach LeSameach Im Kol Achas VaAchas Simcha Ruyolo Im Besul LeShiva Im Beul LeShloshe VeEim Arvin Simcha BeSimcha. You're allowed to marry two women at the same time, but you can't become simcha. It's an obligation to mesamech and ishta for a week if she's a psula. You can't do it to do. You have to do one, and then wait a week and do the second. Why? Amar and simcha bit the simcha. Right? So you see, according to the Rambam, it's a halacha in simcha and not a halacha in chag. Right? If it was a halacha in a chag, it would not apply to two weddings the same. I said I'm going to, up till now, not my own, and now I'm going to talk about my own based on an ideas the Rav have. And we're going to talk about Purim. So first of all, are one allowed to get married on Purim? Right? So the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba. Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba and the Tshuva. This is in the very last siman of Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim in the Torah. Beis Yosef quotes the Tshuva from the Rashba, and the Rashba says that a couple can get married on Purim. Why? So he says, why can a woman get married on Purim? He says, because we paskin that the reason you can't get married on Chol HaMoed is samachta b'ishtecha b'chagecha below b'ishtecha. Right? We paskin the reason you can't get married on Chol HaMoed is not the reason that Eim Arvin Simcha b'Simcha. But the reason of a samachta b'chagecha. So if it's samachta b'chagecha, that wouldn't apply to Purim, because Purim is not a chag. I know people say chag Purim, but halachically, Purim is not a chag. It's not a chag, and the din is not a din of Eim Arvin Simcha b'Simcha. The din is Samachta b'chagecha. So it's not a loch in simcha, it's a loch in simcha's a chag. And if Purim is not a chag, so it doesn't apply to Purim. So therefore, one's allowed to get married on Purim. Now, what would happen if someone thought that the din is ein marvin simcha b'besimcha? Not like the Rashba, right? Like according to the Rambam. What should follow that according to the Rambam, you can't get married on Purim, right? Because it didn't, and ein marvin simcha b'besimcha. However, the Rambam doesn't say that. The same Rambam, right? In Halacha Yudalit, in Perek Yud, the very next Halacha, Rambam starts out talking about you can have Erisin every day, even Tisha B'Av, but you can't do Noshim, and he gives a whole slew of days where you can't, either because of not before Shabbos, right after Shabbos, because the consumer for Shabbos, right? And you can't do it on Shabbos, and even a Chol HaMoed you can't. Pishayim Avin Simcha B'Simcha. B'Shar HaYomim Mutar Lisa Isha B'Chol Yom Sheyirtze. But aside from Shabbos and Yontif, you can marry any day you want. Any day you want includes Purim, right? Any day you want. We just explained the Rashba who permits people to get married on Purim, because he doesn't paskin name Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. He paskins Samachta B'Chagecha V'lo B'Yishtecha. So it doesn't apply to Purim. But the Rambam says explicitly it's Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Nevertheless, he says you can get married on Purim. So we're forced to say, according to the Rambam, Simchas Purim is somehow different than the simcha of Chol HaMoed, the simcha of Yontif, and the simcha of getting married. So let's see. What is missing from the Mishnah is any discussion about Avelis on Purim, right? The Mishnah talks about Avelis, talks about Shabbos and Yontif, and doesn't say anything. The Gemara doesn't say anything about whether people are noeg avelos in Purim or not. So if you go to the Beis Yosef, it makes life easier for you. He quotes the difference. The Torah already quotes two shitas, and the Beis Yosef adds the Rambam. The Torah quotes two shitas. One shita is the She'iltos. The She'iltos says that not only are you not noeg avelos on Purim, but Purim is like Yom Tov. Why? Because the chi of simcha on Purim is certainly equivalent to Yom Tov. If anything, the chi of simcha on Purim is even beyond that of Yom Tov. And we can prove that from the Rambam, even though we'll see Rambam says something very different than Avelim. In the same Hilchos Yom Tov that I quoted, the Hilchos Yom Tov that I quoted, the Rambam continues in Perek Vav, in Hilchos Yom Tov, to say the following. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Halacha Chaf. Kshe'adam ochel v'shoseh v'sameach b'rega, lo yimshach b'yayin u'b'schok b'kalas rosh, V'yomesh akol mi sheyosef v'zeh yarba v'mitzvah simcha. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Let me shut this. I should have done that beforehand. All right? The Rambam says, you can't get drunk. You can't drink extra and get wild. You know? Like where? Like on Purim, right? And a Purim chagiga, right? You can't do that on Yom Tov. Why? It's ain't a simcha, al holus v'sichlus. Lord Stavenu al holus v'sichlus, al simcha sheshba, avodas, yotzer hakol, shem atach shalavdas, Hashem elokecha b'simcha b'tov levav. Ha'olamadato sh'avoda b'simcha. You can't. Yesh lavas Hashem, lomitok schok, umkal zlosh, lomitok shiklus. No, the Simcha of Yontif is a form of Avodas Hashem. What did we say before? It's closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't do that by getting drunk, by being wild. That's not Avodas Hashem. But what did the Rambam say in Hechas Megillah? What did he say in Hechas Megillah about Purim? The Rambam Shita is different than others, but in this respect, he talks about Sudas Purim, which has to be in the daytime. You can't get, according to Rabbi, you can't get drunk at night. Doesn't help. Doesn't work. Ketzas Kavaso de Zo, Shiyocha Basif Yitakin Sudan Noel Kafir Shatim Siyodo, Vishose Yayin Ache Yishtaker, Virdom Vishikwis. You know, you have to have the nicest meal, but you have to drink until you fall asleep. The Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov said that's not a kiyum simcha. Right? He said that's holus for kalas rosh. Here he says it's a kiyum simcha on Purim. So the Rav explained that there's a difference between the simcha of Purim and the simcha of Yom Tov. In what respect? So, Rambam mentions that the Gemara in Erechin raises the question of why we don't say Hallel on Purim. So the Gemara gives a number of different answers. The most famous answer is that the reading the Megillah, Kriyasa Zohilula, reading the Megillah is a Kiyum in Hallel. But the Gemara gives a different answer as well. The Gemara says, Mikor Avdei D'Achashverosh V'Hashtana Mi'Avdei D'Achashverosh, that the reason we don't say Hallel, because Hallel is we're only Avdei Hashem, and we've, like Yetzias Mitzrayim, gone, right? Paul, well, they all got drowned, and we're free from the Egyptians, and now we're only related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Purim, while a great victory in saving us from destruction, at the end of the story, Achashverosh is still king. Even if Mordechai is Sheni LaMelech, but Sheni LaMelech is not the Melech. Right? The end of the story of Purim, and we're still under the control of Achashverosh. So, in other words, we were saved from this destruction, but we're not secure. We're not saved permanently. The Rav said, that's the nature of Simchas Purim and getting drunk. If you think about it, what happens to someone who gets drunk? At the time that he's drinking, he's on a high, right? Absolute high. What happens the next morning? He has a hangover. It's a rush of joy, but one that's not permanent by its very nature. Because it wears off. Not only does it wear off, it leaves one in worse shape. Right? So the Rav said, Simchas Purim is different than Simchas Yom Tov. Simchas Purim is, you know, excitement about being saved, but it's not creating a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is permanent. It's a temporary kind of feeling. If that's the case, I want to suggest that therefore, based on the explanation I gave in the name of the Rav of why Simchas Yom Tov is against Avelus, it doesn't eliminate Avelus, at least according to the Rambam. And guess what? The Rambam in Hechas Avelus says that you are knowing Avelus on Purim. Right? The Rambam is consistent. Rambam in Hechas in Perak Yud Aleph in Hechas Avelus Perek Yudalef Halacha Gimel. Kainim Maspita Mesameis Bechanaka Purim Velo Rosh Chodashim Avol Noong Behem Kol Divrei Avelo. Right, Rav Sifis says that you cannot be an Avel on Purim. Right. So how do we have this? That the Rambam says you can be an Avel on Purim. The Rambam says you can get married on Purim. You can get married on Purim, and we're not concerned about a Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Right? You can be an Avel on Purim, and we're not worried about, we don't say that the Simcha's Purim breaks the Avelus. This is the Rambam. The Shulta says the Simchas Purim does break Avelus. The Shulta has a different approach to the Simchas Purim. I'm saying it in the Rambam, right? Avelus. And the Marie Wittenberg says that it's like Shabbos. Why is it like Shabbos and not like Yontif? Well, it's not a compromise. It's probably because Purim is only Midrabanan. And Yom Rishon Shav Avelus is the Araisa, right? So Avelus has a Doraisa aspect, Purim is only Midrabanan, so therefore it can't destroy Avelus completely. That's the Marami Wittenberg. But now we're learning according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, Avelus on Purim, and I will tell you, the Rav himself sat Shiva on Purim. I was working in my manager at the time I saw it. Right? Ain't I Raisa? Right? Like the Rambam. Right? So Simchas Purim is different from Simchas Yontif, but I have to extend it one step further, right? But what kind of Simcha is equated to Simchas Yontif? The Simcha of getting married, right? Avraham Simchas Simcha. Is that expressed in Avelus as well? And the answer is yes. Because I'm going to quote a Rambam. Again, it's a Gemara in Ksuvis. The Rambam says, Shivat Yemei HaChasnus Harehen Kuregel Umi Shemei Slomeis B'Tok Yemei HaMishta Hu Ov V'Imo Mashlem Shivat Yemei HaSimcha V'Achar Kach Noeg Shivat Yemei HaVeilus. Right? So it's not exactly like Yontif, it's like Chol HaMoed. Right? But you first have 7 days of Simcha. Why is the Simcha of the marriage like Yom Tov and the Simcha of Purim not like Yom Tov? So I want to suggest, and I want to get involved in the whole thing as with Yom Tov, why don't the brach we say at the Eiris in Mekadesh Yisrael Dechupa B'Kiddushin? We don't say just the bracha, the mitzvah of Mekadesh, right? But it's a mitzvah, not as a whole. Because we showed him also, what do you mean by the Shodei Chupa B'Kiddushin? We're saying that the Jewish way of getting married reflects Kedushas Yisrael, right? The reflection of Kedushas Yisrael, and of course, marriage is meant to be permanent. It's a permanent change, right? So in that respect, that it enhances Kedushas Yisrael, so the Simcha has with it the same permanence and has some elements that make it comparable to the Simcha of Chol HaMoed, which makes it different than Simcha's Purim. So Eimar and Simcha B'Simcha applies to marrying two women on the same day in the Simcha, as it applies that you can't get married in Chol HaMoed because the two come in conflict. But Simcha's Purim does not conflict with getting married, therefore you can get married on Purim, and it doesn't destroy the Avelus. Getting married doesn't eliminate Avelus, but at least it postpones the Avelus, while in Purim you experience the Avelus. So just putting it together quickly, based on the notion of Kim Shebelev, one examines the notion of Simcha and the notion of Onik and Shabbos, Simcha and Yontif, Simcha and Purim, to see what internal mode it reflects. Kibbutz V'Onik doesn't have the element of it, just it's simply respect for Shabbos. Simcha Anyantif reflects the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore in that sense it applies on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, in contrast to Avelis, which the internal mode of Avelis is the sense of loss, the sense of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Simcha of Yontif outweighs it. And in a sense, the Simcha, when they get married, is the expression of Kedushas Yisrael of the positive side, right? Marriage leads us to more people, right? Avelis is loss of someone. While Simchas Purim, while intense in its own right, does not reflect the same concept of Simcha. Simply, it's a different concept of Simcha, right? A sense of gratitude for being saved. I didn't go into it, but if you look at the various form of, quote, the Rav on Purim, the Rav tends to think that even Tainus Esther is different than other fast days, but it's not a recognition of Tzara, but on the contrary, it's part of Simchas Purim, which is a shiur in its own right. But, so if we examine things in terms of their internal nature, we can make all the differentiation that I quoted in the Rav, and a little bit of addition, applying his principles in cases which he didn't discuss.
Thank you.